Diversity. Everyone interprets the term differently as there are a variety of areas in society lacking inclusivity. Often, minority groups in social, political, and economic circumstances are defined by the notion that differences are frowned upon. We learn this idea at a young age. Time in the classroom is meant to be spent learning about history, math, outer space, and the ABCs. However, we also, often subconsciously, learn to distance ourselves from those of the opposite gender, those with different skin tones, or peers with less money than our parents. We teach our children that when you look at another person, your face in the mirror should be staring back at you. We preach diversity while the classroom doesn't. Only 19 years ago, the Charlotte-Mecklenburg School District in Charlotte, North Carolina, ran a segregated busing system. Strategically implemented to integrate racial groups into different schools, students were bused outside of their local communities and attended schools based on racial composition. Many view busing as a failure. Professor of History at Dartmouth College Matthew Delmont touches on this in his book, Why Busing Failed: Race, Media, and the National Resistance to School Desegregation. Busing failed to more fully desegregate public schools because school officials, politicians, courts, and the news media value the desires of parents more than the rights of black students, he says. The busing system, which eventually ended at CMS in 2002, created ripple effects that impacted students of color for years to come, and it represents a reality that surfaced in mainstream media this year. Racism in the U.S. is alive and well. Associate Professor Stephen Billings at the Leeds School of Business at CU Boulder observed the aftermath of race-based busing at CMS. Following a court order to disband this system, students faced challenges academically and socially. Through in-depth research on test scores, criminal activity, and educational value and success, Billings and his fellow researchers came to a conclusion. Resegregation of CMS schools prompted an increase in racial inequality.
Then, overnight, it went from this kind of pretty even mix of minority and non-minority students to where we had schools that had like 90% minority and other schools that had 90% non-minority or white students.
Billings says,
why they might be less likely Republican. There's lots of different ways, but it is consistent with this idea that they're going to be more likely to favor policies that deal with, that promote equity. Mostly it tended to, hurt or in essence increase that gap between minority and non-minority students, meaning that It tended to hurt the minority students the most.
Inequity in the classroom is present in other ways. Often, women hesitate to enter science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, also known as STEM fields, due to ostracization from their male counterparts. According to a study conducted by the Society of Women Engineers, women make up about 21% of those pursuing bachelor's degrees in engineering and computer science. The long-standing legend that women aren't cut out for these positions appears in underlying ways today in academia and the workplace. Undergraduate student in applied mathematics Caitlin Coleman feels her fair share of the repercussions of being a woman in classes dominated by men. In some circumstances, her ideas are shut down without good reason, and in others, she notices the lacking representation of female professors in her field. Though this isn't an easy feat, many STEM women continue to pursue their passions and hope to make a difference in their fields. A part of their success involves constant communication with their peers.
Something really important is like establishing connections with people first so that they can like understand where you're coming from, and being able to work closely with someone where they can like understand how your brain works,
says Coleman. The classroom environment is also a major contributor to individual political beliefs and the overall political atmosphere of society. In a study alongside several other economists, Billings found a correlation between white students exposed to minority groups at a young age and their future political affiliations.
If you're a white kid and you're exposed to more diverse students, it makes you less likely to be a Republican when you're in your late 20s. Mm-hmm. There's less fear of unknown groups or kind of things like immigration that are going to be more in favor of being more inclusive of those types of groups.
He explains. Billings continues. Billings' study, which was published in the Washington Post, highlights fundamental ideas presented to students at a young age. On the surface, it is clear that different regions in the country are demographically associated with racial groups. Billing's findings show that political affiliation may largely contribute to our surroundings at a young age, where students exposed to those different from themselves and their familial circumstances enter society with more awareness towards minority groups and social issues. Coleman addresses this idea regarding her knowledge of issues surrounding diversity and inclusion. As a member of the LGBTQ+ community herself,
kind of like a doorway that like allowed me to kind of learn about like just other minorities and other ways different groups of people experience oppression and
she says. Similarly to education, inequalities appear in the workplace. Nowadays, education on diversity and inclusion in the workplace defines employee relations, public relations, and more. Successful businesses and corporations are being held accountable by a societal push for change. Emily Shepherdson is spending her mid-20s working on the front lines for a large corporation. After leaving academia, she realized that
discourse is amazing and important and so, so, so influential. And it's also just another small piece of the puzzle because I don't have a lot of extra time to read or listen to podcasts and stuff.
Attending schools within a certain district for one's entire academic career or remaining in an exclusive bubble can affect a person's future understanding of the world and of others. Diversity of experience allows individuals to develop empathy for those on different paths of life.
Get lost in the idea of a person and the idea of a minority group, and that discourse can only get so far. I miss having the discourse, but I think learning through life experience and listening to other people's personal experience and making the time when I have it.
Shepherdson says, this past year, inequality in this country surfaced in the media and national politics. In response to injustices faced by minority groups daily, many U.S. citizens are demanding action through implementing new policies, transforming governmental institutions, and encouraging increased awareness of social inequalities. At the micro level, learning to be more accepting of those different from us is vital in enacting change. One method of change is diversifying neighborhoods, as neighborhood composition affects schools, which leads to differing educational curriculums that influence children's future opportunities. However, this will take intentional action by others, as currently.
So if people are more comfortable living with people that kind of feel and look more like them, I mean, that's not.
According to Billings. Billings offers that the attempts to address this problem through one-dimensional diversity and inclusion policies today.
It's a little misleading and doesn't really help us as much as I think people want to focus on, because it checks a box a little bit. And yeah. I do, that's the one criticism I have of most of the initiative. It's too much checking the box and not like really trying to get diverse perspectives in a meaningful way.
Yeah.
The issues plaguing this country today are few and far between. From an institutional standpoint, issues of discrimination in education will continue to flourish without action, such as in the instance with race-based busing. However, individuals serving as bystanders and allies could fundamentally change the discriminatory ideologies deeply rooted in U.S. history.
White people and privileged people need to start standing up and calling it out as we see it, because, I mean, we're the ones who did the damage in the first place, and that's the first step to undoing it too.
Says Coleman.
And especially like in our bubbles, you know, like not being able or being able to stand up to your friends who are making rude comments or degrading comments, or, you know, but even maybe they just have an opinion of something that you think is like a little off. I think that's like where it needs to start.
As we continue to grapple with our understandings of diversity and how to create a more equitable and inclusive society, it can seem like an impossible issue to tackle. However, individual and unified action can serve as a method for creating proactive change, no matter how small it may seem. So the next time you're in class and notice underlying inequity, ask yourself, what can I do to change?